With the kids next week and in the pulpit next week is going to be Brother Brian. So you might pray for Brian, because next week Brian is going to preach to us our memory verse for the month, 2 Corinthians 5:21, and he doesn't know it yet, but he's tasked also with the children's time. Take your Bibles, if you would, please, and open with me to Revelation chapter 19. And if you're visiting with us, if you're new, we want to welcome you. And we are working our way slowly but surely through this great last book of the Bible, Revelation. And this morning we are in 19:1-6, the coming great hallelujah. And it is good news. The good news, as we've said and as many have said, is that our God wins, our God reigns. But we are going to hit a difficult one this morning. We're going to hit a reason to rejoice and celebrate that you might want to hesitate over, but I hope that you won't, and I'll help you through. Revelation 19, verses 1 through 6. After these things, I heard a loud voice of a great multitude in heaven, saying, Alleluia, really, Hallelujah, Hebrew for praise ye the Lord. Hallelujah, salvation and glory and honor and power belong to the Lord our God. Verse 2, for true and righteous are his judgments, because he has judged the great harlot who corrupted the earth with her fornication, and he has avenged on her the blood of his servants shed by her. Again they said, Hallelujah, her smoke rises up forever and ever. And the 24 elders and the four living creatures fell down and worshipped God who sat on the throne, saying, Amen, Hallelujah. Then a voice came from the throne saying, Praise our God, all you his servants and those who fear him, both small and great. And I heard, as it were, the voice of a great multitude, as the sound of many waters and as the sound of mighty thunderings, saying, Hallelujah. For the Lord God omnipotent reigns. And that's as far as we'll get this morning. The Word of God, this book that you hold in your hands, and I hope you hold in your hands, I always encourage people to grab a Bible and follow along. The Word of God is living. It's living. Think about that. Hebrews 4:12 tells us that. It says, for the Word of God is living. It's alive. 1 Peter 1:23 teaches the same truth when it says of all true Christians, you have been born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, through the Word of God which lives and abides forever. The Word of God is living. It speaks today. That is a very important truth to keep in mind as you read your Bible. I hope that many of you are reading your Bibles through for the year, or that you have a daily Bible reading plan of some kind. I won't ask for a show of hands. I don't want to embarrass anyone, but I truly hope that you read your Bible. And if you do, you need to keep in mind it is living. Why do you need to keep that in mind? Because when you come across something like we're seeing here, Hallelujah, 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 praise God, hallelujah. When you come across something like that, you need to understand that on the one hand, in this context of Revelation 19, this is a future call to those in heaven to praise the Lord our God. This is something that is going to take place in the future after God has destroyed this godless society. There is going to ring out a very loud voice in heaven calling upon everyone in heaven to praise the Lord. But on the other hand, this is not just future. This is a right now call by the Spirit of God to all of us to praise the Lord our God today. This is a call to worship for us. Remember, John the Apostle was writing all of this to whom? To the churches. It's to us. Here, the Spirit of God and the host of heaven are calling all of us to praise the Lord. Now, let's take just a moment and think about what are we talking about? What are we talking about praising the Lord? Well, we all know what it is to praise men, right? Because if you've been watching any news, you've seen it all week long. Men praising men. reciting poems, singing songs, bringing their gifts and offerings. Has anyone seen the news this week? No. Well, all week long, trust me, they've been praising one man. A basketball player. Yeah. Oh, right. Yeah, all week long we've seen worship. All week long we've seen praise. All week long people have been reciting his many great works, the highlights, the special moments. Is he worthy of all that praise? God knows. God knows his life and his heart. But I know this, our God is worthy of praise. And this is the final call to praise in the Bible. Up until Revelation, there have been times and times and times again when God, through his servants, has been calling people to praise the Lord. Hallelujah is all throughout the Bible. This is the final hallelujah. This is the final command of God saying, hallelujah, praise the Lord, praise God, don't hold back. And like all other calls to worship in Scripture, this one is a set of repeated exhortations. Four times, hallelujah, which is a command. Praise ye the Lord. And then, as if there must have been some hesitation in verse 5, it says, praise our God, all you his servants. And then in verse 7, it says, let's be glad and rejoice and let's give him glory. Come on. And then in verse 10, the command, worship God. Seven exhortations, no less than seven exhortations to praise God. And along with all those exhortations, just like all the other calls to worship in Scripture, many explanations for why we should. Because you know what? For us to praise God does not come naturally. It doesn't come naturally. We should grow up all of our early years just praising the Lord thanking him for life, thanking him for breath, thanking him for every good gift. We don't do that. It is not natural. It's supernatural. And so this is a call to worship. And as we go through, I want you to see, there are seven reasons at least here. We've gone through four of them. I'll review them this morning. But I want you to see this morning three more reasons to praise the Lord and to not refrain from praise. I'll explain why I say that. Let's start in verse 1. Let's review the four that we saw last time. Verse 1. After these things, that is referring to Revelation 17 and 18, after God's final destruction of the sinful society on earth, John says, I heard a loud voice of a great multitude in heaven, probably the voice of all the redeemed and the myriads upon myriads of angels, saying, hallelujah. And here's the first reason why. Salvation and glory and honor and power belong to the Lord our God. Really, salvation is of the Lord. He is the source of our salvation. That's true of our salvation from sin. That is of the Lord. That's true of our salvation from death. That is of the Lord. That's true of our salvation from hell, for our salvation from the devil. But here, the reference is to this salvation in the context. It's this salvation from this present evil age, from this oppression by evil men. This salvation from the wrath of God, that is of the Lord. Hallelujah. Have you been saved from the wrath of God? I'll tell you this. If you are a true believer in Jesus Christ, he saves us from this wrath to come. 1 Thessalonians 1:10. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Second reason, verse 2, for true and righteous are his judgments. You see it there? For true and righteous are his judgments. That means his judgments, unlike ours, they're always true, always in accordance with all the facts. And his judgments, unlike ours, are always righteous. They're always right. He makes no mistakes. Let me ask you something. Do you listen to the words of Jesus and do you believe the one who sent him? Here's his judgment. He says in John 5:24, most assuredly I say to you, he who hears my word and believes in him who sent me, here's his judgment. He has everlasting life and he will not come into the judgment. He has already passed out of death and into life. And that is good news. John 5:24. If you have one of those little pocket Gideon Bibles, that's always in the back. This is the good news. If you're a believer in Christ, God will save you from the wrath to come, and you already have everlasting life as an eternal possession right now. And that judgment of God's is true and righteous altogether. Praise the Lord. And a third reason is, not only is his salvation from the Lord, not only are his righteous or his judgments true and righteous, but also he will judge the great harlot who has corrupted the earth with her fornication, and he will avenge the blood of his servants. Take a look. 19:2. For true and righteous are his judgments, because he has judged the great harlot who corrupted the earth with her fornication, and he has avenged on her the blood of his servants shed by her. We looked at this last time. But what it's telling us is that God is going to finally and utterly destroy this godless society. And when he does, just as he has said, vengeance is mine, I will repay. God will repay those who have shed the blood of Christians. So those are the first four reasons. Very fast, quick review. Salvation is of the Lord. His judgments are true and righteous. He will judge the great harlot, and he will avenge the blood of his servants. Time for three more. Three more reasons to praise the Lord and to not refrain from praise. Praise the Lord because the rain, not as in precipitation, the R-E-I-G-N, the rain, the rule, the oppressive rule of wicked men will soon come to an eternal end. Look at verse 3, and this is the one that I say may be difficult for you. Again, they said, hallelujah, her smoke rises up forever and ever. Whose smoke? Yeah, the great harlot, the smoke of the great harlot. But the great harlot, the giant prostitute, the mega whore, as I know that sounds offensive, right? That's biblical language. The great harlot will be judged forever, and along with her, all the people connected to her. This is a picture of eternal torment, a picture of eternal condemnation. You know, this imagery is offensive to some people, but it's biblical, and it's on purpose. God doesn't want you to be a part of this final society. God has chosen to represent this immoral society as a large prostitute, so that you will not want to have part with her. You know, we're to be in the world, but not what? Of the world. Very good. What the Spirit of God is showing us in these final chapters of Revelation is that the political leaders of the end time society, and I'm sure you won't be able to relate to this, the political leaders of the end time society and those who follow their lead will be so immoral, so idolatrous, so corrupt, so hating of Christ and Christians, that the most fitting way to picture them is as a giant harlot. And that's not all, but as a giant harlot riding on the back of a beast that reminds of Satan. Today is the Super Bowl, and most likely, as far as I know, there's going to be a halftime show, which I will not be watching, and many of us will not watch. But I want you to imagine for a second, how many of you have an imagination? You have an imagination. Not everyone. Not everyone has an imagination, apparently. Well, those of you who have one, I want you to turn it on for a moment. I want you to imagine that you are in charge of today's halftime show, and you're to bring out to center field something like a parade float. And you are tasked with trying to come up with a halftime display that portrays the future of our great society. That's your task. Now, I'm sure that you would think about it, and you would get some counsel and put together a team, and you'd come up with some options. I would suggest to you, you could not come up with anything better than what God has given us in Revelation. Here's what you should come up with. And here's what God comes up with if he's tasked with that assignment. If God were in charge of the halftime Super Bowl show today, and he was tasked to represent the future of this great society, he would bring out a massive prostitute. A mega porne, that is the wording used back in chapter 17. He would bring out a massive harlot in a red dress of a harlot, cut cut so that you would know this is a prostitute. She would be adorned with gobs of jewelry, gold, gems, and pearls hanging all over her. She would be riding on the back of a giant red beast that reminds people of the devil. She would have blasphemous names tattooed all over her body. Across her forehead would be written, "Mystery, Babylon the Great, the mother of harlots, and the mother of the abominations of the earth." She would have a giant gold cup in her hand, filled to the brim with filth, the filth of abominations, things that God hates, because this society thirsts and drinks in abominations. Not only that, she would be drunk. Drunk with the blood of Christians that she has oppressed and killed. And one more thing. At the end of the show, she and the beast and everything around her and everyone connected with her would go up in flames. And her smoke would ascend forever and ever. Listen. That is the picture that God gives to represent the evils of this society and what God intends to do. God intends to completely destroy her. And she will never rise again. And you ought to say, hallelujah. Listen what it says next. Look what it says next. Verse 4. And the 24 elders, this is their response. The 24 elders represent the redeemed of the Old and New Testament times, the 12 tribes and the 12 apostles. The 24 elders and the four living creatures, those special cherubim, the special angelic creatures that surround God's throne, they fell down and worshiped God who sat on the throne saying, Amen. You know what that means? So may it be. So let it be that this evil, godless, Christ-hating society would be destroyed and that her smoke would ascend forever and ever. So let it be. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. That is a command. And as if to suggest that maybe there's some hesitation, look at verse 5. Then a voice came out from the throne. We don't know whose voice, but it's a voice with God's authority, saying, really commanding, "Praise our God, all you his servants, and those who fear him, both small and great." Now we'll come back to this in a minute. But it seems as if maybe some have not yet joined in the chorus. Don't be one of them. Don't be someone who refrains from praising God for coming judgment. Because I'll tell you what, it would not be righteous. It would not be righteous of God to not judge this world that has hated him, that has crucified his son Jesus Christ, that has killed off many of his children, that has cast off his word behind their backs, and that has been corrupting newborn children for ages. It would not be righteous of God to not judge. If you do fear God, then praise him. Why? Because, and here's the second of three reasons for today, because he reigns. He reigns. Look at verse 6. And I heard, as it were, the voice of a great multitude. That means those who have been commanded to join in, join in. Like the sound of many waters, that's very powerful. Like the sound of mighty thunderings, that's very loud and even frightening. Saying, hallelujah, for the Lord God omnipotent reigns. This is the sound of the heavenly chorus growing louder. Others have joined in here. The voice of all the redeemed of heaven, with all the angelic host, powerfully crying out, hallelujah, praise ye the Lord, for the Lord God omnipotent reigns. Now, does he reign right now? He does. The Lord reigns. He reigns right now. And you might have said no, because it often seems like maybe he doesn't. Right? There's so much sin, there's so much evil, there's so much suffering and death in the world around us that some people think, well, if your God is all powerful and he's all loving and he's reigning, how do you explain what we see today? How are we supposed to regard what we see today? He is long-suffering toward us, not willing that any should perish. Regard the long-suffering of the Lord as salvation. God, in his grace and his mercy, is still saving. And he does reign today, and that is a reason to praise him, that he reigns. But that's actually not what this is talking about. Strange, right? Take a look at it again. Verse 6, it says, in my Bible, it says at the end of the verse, the Lord God omnipotent reigns. He does, but what it really says is, the Lord God omnipotent reigned. Past tense. Some of your translations will have that, or some of you will have a note in the margin. It is definitely past tense. He reigned. And what that's talking about is, he has won the victory over this wicked society. He's gained the victory over the society that sought in every way to oust him. Everything we see in the latter half of Revelation shows that our society in the future will become so bad that not only will people not repent of their sins, not only will they reject all warnings of coming judgment and all calls to be saved, but they will corrupt the rest of the world with their anti-Christian thinking, and they will coerce others to join in with them or be killed. And the question is, will they win? I don't know if any of you read what's written these days about the culture wars, but many who are not on the side of God are saying the culture war is over, we win. God does not care about a culture war. He doesn't care. It isn't a culture war. It's a spiritual war. And they do not win. God wins. And we should say, praise the Lord. We should say, hallelujah. Praise God for this salvation which is of him. Praise God that soon he will destroy the great harlot. Praise God that he will finally avenge the blood of his servants. Praise God that the oppressive rule of wicked men will finally come to an eternal end. Praise God that he reigns, will reign, and has reigned. And notice it says, the Lord God omnipotent. Praise the Lord that he is Lord and not man. Because judging by what we see, man thinks that he is Lord. Praise the Lord that he is God and not man. Because judging by what we see, men think they are gods. And praise the Lord that he is omnipotent. Literally, he is the all-holding one. That's what this word means. And we sing that song, right? He's got the whole world in his hands. That's what this word means. He is the all-holding one. Praise God that he is omnipotent and not man, and that he wins in the end. By the way, if he wins, then so do you if you are his child. So are you his child? Are you a child of God? Well, I tell you, you are only a child of God if you are a born-again believer in Jesus Christ. If you have never been born again through faith in Jesus Christ, don't be deceived. You're not a child of God. That's the truth. It's a right to be called a child of God. And listen to what it says of Jesus Christ in the Gospel of John 1:10-13. He, speaking of Jesus Christ, he was in this world, and the world was made through him, but the world did not know him. He came to his own, and his own did not receive him. But as many as received him, as many as received Jesus Christ, to them he gave the right to become or to be called the children of God. To those who believe in his name. And who is that? Who believes in his name? To those who were born not of blood, not of the will of flesh, not of the will of man, but of the will of whom? God. If you are a child of God, you should say, hallelujah. I have been born not of my will, but of the will of God. So I say, praise the Lord, hallelujah. And the three reasons for today are, number one, the reign of wicked men will soon come to an eternal end. And number two, the Lord God omnipotent reigns, and he will reign in a way that we've never seen. There's a third one we're not going to get into today. I want to give you a different third one than what's in your bulletin. There's a third one we'll look at next week. Then will come the marriage supper of the Lamb. But I do want to give you a third reason to praise the Lord. And that is, you do not want to be like those who won't. You don't want to be like those who won't. Go back for a moment to verse 5. This reminded me of something that I think is worth pointing out. Verse 5, then a voice came from the throne, that is from the throne of God, a voice of authority, saying, "Praise our God, all you his servants, and those who fear him, both small and great." Small and great is not talking about short people and tall people. It is actually talking about small and great of every category. So we do divide people into categories, right? That's what we do. And we talk about small people and big people. Okay, well, whether you're small or big, praise the Lord. We talk about rich people and poor people. Well, whether you're rich or poor, praise the Lord. We talk about successful people and not so successful people. Well, whether you're successful or not, praise the Lord. We talk about old people and young people, and I don't know which of those would be small and great. But whichever you are, young or old, praise the Lord. In other words, whoever you are, wherever you are, if you have any fear of God, don't refrain from praising him. Praise the Lord. And I said, because you don't want to be like those who don't. By the way, this is a present tense verb. Praise our God. That means praise and keep on praising. Don't refrain from praising our God. This reminded me of something I just want to show you real quickly. Psalm 95. You know, we're going to be going back to the Psalms, but it's going to be a long time till we get to 95. So turn back just for a moment and look at Psalm 95. I would entitle Psalm 95, "The Worship Warning." Because you might think, well, I mean, worship, praise, that's optional. I mean, that's if I feel like it. That's if I want to. Surely, I don't have to praise God. Do I? Look at Psalm 95. And here, the psalmist, the worship leader, speaking no doubt to all Israel, calls the people of God to worship and then gives a very stern warning. Notice Psalm 95. "Oh, come, let us sing to the Lord." And that's one of the ways that we praise him. We praise him by singing. "Let's shout joyfully to the rock of our salvation." And we praise him by shouting, speaking aloud, singing out loud of his glory. Verse 2, "Let's come before his presence with thanksgiving." That's the way we praise him. We give thanks to God. We thank him for who he is. We thank him for our great salvation. We thank him for who we have to serve with. We thank him for all his great gifts. "Let's shout joyfully to him with songs." Verse 2. Verse 3, "Because the Lord is the great God, and the great king above all gods. In his hand are the deep places of the earth. The heights of the hills are his also. The sea is his, for he made it. And his hands formed the dry land. Oh, come, let's worship and bow down." That's one way we worship him, right? We bow before him. We humble ourselves. "Let's kneel before the Lord our Maker. For he's our God, and we're the people of his pasture, and we're the sheep of his hand." End of psalm? No. Then it says, today, if you hear his voice, it really says, if you hear his voice, do not harden your hearts. You know what that means? Don't be one of those who isn't praising. You know, my fear on Sundays, I've said it before, I'll say it again, my fear here is that there are people who come into this church and they hear the word of God taught and they hear the word of God preached, but they're not praising God. They're playing games. They're talking. Their mind, maybe their lips honor God, but their heart is a million miles away, which is hypocrisy. Here comes the worship warning. Do not harden your hearts as in the rebellion, as in the day of trial in the wilderness, when your fathers tested me. They tried me, even though they saw my work. They had every reason to praise God, and yet they didn't. For 40 years, I was grieved with that generation, and I said, this is a people who goes astray in their hearts. And what did God do? Verse 11. So I swore in my wrath. You know what that is? That's God swearing an oath. And it literally reads this way. There is no way that they will enter my rest. Well, you don't want to be like that. You don't want to be one of those about whom God says, there is no way you will enter my heaven. So I say, praise the Lord. Praise him. If you have trouble praising God, pray. Say, God, help my unbelief. Soften my hard heart. Convict me of my sin, of my laziness, my worldliness, my fleshliness, my pride. All these things hinder praise. Praise him because soon this rule of wicked men will come to an eternal end. Praise him because he reigns. And praise him because you don't want to be like those who won't. You know, I thought about this week, there was much praise, much worship going on for a sports hero. And I don't know him. I'm not a basketball fan. I know you're questioning why that is, but I'm not a basketball fan. I didn't join in the chorus, but I wonder what would have happened. What would have happened if you had been in the giant arena where everyone is assembled and they said, we are now going to have a moment of silence in honor of this great legend. What would have happened if you had stood up and said, I will not honor him. Maybe you knew something that he did, or maybe he hurt you. I would be willing to bet that he hurt many people in his life. Maybe you were someone who was used by him. What if you had not gone along with the crowd and not honored, and you played your phone, or you showed disrespect? You think people would have risen up against you for not joining in? Oh, I think that would have made the nightly news. You know, I don't know if he's worthy of all the honor that's being heaped on him, but I do know the God who is. And he's worthy that you should honor him. And I wonder what he thinks when people come into a worship place like this and dishonor him. Listen, I'm begging you, if you're not a believer, if you're not a worshiper, if you're not one who praises God, and I don't mean just here, if you're not one who speaks the praises of God, if you don't sing his praises, speak highly of his name, proclaim his excellencies to other people, don't harden your heart today. Today's the day of salvation. Call upon the Lord for forgiveness. Confess your sin and say, Lord, I have not been worshiping you, and yet you are worthy. Let's pray. Father God, we praise you and thank you for this great final call to worship. We praise you and thank you that you are our God, that you reign and that you will reign in the end. And Father, we pray, help us, forgive us of our sins. Forgive us for when we praise men, but we praise not you. Help us, Father, to become more and more like your Son, Jesus Christ, especially in this area, that we would glorify you on the earth. We pray it in Jesus' name. Amen.